Today, the Universal Church celebrates the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She commemorates the death of Mary and her bodily assumption into heaven after her death, or what the early church called the Dormition of Mary. Because Mary's assumption is a foretaste of our own bodily resurrection at the end of time, it is the most important of all Marian feast days and a holy day of obligation. The Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary is one of the oldest feasts of the Church, celebrated universally by the 6th century. The feast was originally celebrated in the East, where it was known as the Feast of the Dormition, a word which literally means a falling asleep. The earliest printed reference to the belief that Mary's body was assumed into heaven dates from the 4th century in a document entitled The Falling Asleep of the Holy Mother of God. Tradition says that this document was written by the Apostle John. We can only imagine the conversations of these two exceptionally gifted individuals. And so it makes perfect sense that it is the Apostle John to whom the Lord said from the cross, "Behold your mother, and woman, there is your son." The assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven at the end of her earthly life was defined as a dogma of the Catholic Church on November 1, 1950. Pope Pius XII, exercising his papal infallibility, promulgated the Apostolic Constitution, Munificentissimus Deus, which means the most bountiful God. It's a reference to the mercy and love of God who gives the Church, such a beautiful mother. The document said that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. And I think it's important for us to underline bodily assumption. It was understood during the first century, where Christianity began to spread, that the reality of the human person was dualistic. This is what the Hellenistic culture of the Greeks and the Romans, what they believed. They believed that the spirit or the soul was encapsulated in the shell of the body. And following Plato's philosophy of ideal forms, the desire of everyone was to escape the shell of the body, to liberate themselves from the body and then go live in the spirit world. And Christianity comes projecting and proclaiming something totally different. That the body was not something to be cast away and unvaluable, but that the body was full of dignity because it had been lifted up to the highest level of dignity by the incarnation of the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. Jesus Christ places the human body on an unprecedented level of dignity. And this is why the Holy Church, the Holy Mother Church, never ceases to proclaim to humanity the authentic dignity of the human body that can never be separated from the soul. As a matter of fact, the soul is the animating principle of the body. In modern times, we have accepted, we can say, a neo-dualistic concept of the body as well. If you've heard the phrase, Jesus yes, but church no, or Jesus yes, but organized religion no, this is a form of dualism because it rejects the mystical body of Christ, which is the church. Notice the rejection of the body, the organized principle of the church. It reduces the church to just a mere spirituality that is very individualistic. So I don't need anybody else. It's just me and Jesus at my own time. There's also a running current in our own modern times of the devaluing of the body to the point where the body has become a canvas to be painted. And that the body has to be decorated as if it didn't already have the beauty and the dignity that is proper to the body by the sheer fact that it is made in the image and likeness of the living God. This means that today, even in the church, we have allowed the ideology of materialism and even dualism that makes a radical separation between the dignity of the body so that what I do with the body doesn't really affect my own personhood. And so the body can be used for immorality, the body can be used for anything. And that's okay because it doesn't really affect who I am as a person. And the church has always condemned this as being inconsistent with what the Lord Jesus and the church knows to be true about the integration of the body and the soul and the Spirit of God by virtue of our baptism. The church today and always never tires of proclaiming the dignity of the human person and the dignity of the body as the temple of the Holy Spirit from conception to natural death. The human person is an embodied spirit destined for glorification in the end of time, but also destined for glory this side of eternity. What Mary shows us through her example is that we are called to holiness of life. We are called to glorify God with our bodies, which are temples of the Spirit. And then, at the end of our life, that this body then is lifted up to the glorification. This is the end of the human person. Did you know this? Did you know that everything has a purpose or an end? For example, a glass of water, the glass has the end of containing liquid. Or a cup of water, the cup is formed for the end of containing liquid. That's its end. The end of this microphone is to expand and amplify my voice. That's the end of the microphone. If I were to ask you, what is your end as a human person, what would you say? Have you thought about that before? What is your end as a human person? The church teaches that our end is glorification. We're at the end of it all. If we glorify God in this life, our bodies will be resurrected in the same fashion and in the same way as the Lord Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary were raised. The church proclaims that where Mary goes, the church hopes to follow. First in holiness of life, and then to glory in heaven. where we will behold her son face to face. We read just a few moments ago the Magnificat of Mary, a wonderful hymn that Mary sings from her heart, inspired by the Holy Spirit. This marvelous canticle mirrors the entire soul of Mary. It shows us the entire personality of Mary as the one who projects and magnifies the Lord. With this, we understand that Mary is the portrait or the icon of the church, for it is the role and the end of the church to magnify God in Christ. Let us today then, my dear brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this wonderful feast day, this solemnity of the Assumption, the bodily Assumption of our Blessed Mother, let us be reminded of our end. As church, we desire to go where Mary goes. Let us work then so that we will follow her in holiness of life, in glorifying God this side of eternity, so that we can then glorify Him with glorified bodies forever and ever. Amen.